Our confession portion this evening we're going to be looking at is Article 28, which has to do with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're taught to confess this, found page 83 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnals. And it says this: we believe, since this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, and outside of it there is no salvation, that no person of whatsoever state or condition he may be, ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself, but that all men are in duty bound to join and unite themselves with it, maintaining the unity of the church, submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and as mutual members of the same body, serving to the edification of the brethren, according to the talents God has given them. And that this may be the more effectually observed, it is the duty of all believers, according to the word of God, to separate themselves from all those who do not belong to the church, and to join themselves to this congregation, wheresoever God has established it, even though the magistrates and edicts of princes were against it, yea, though they should suffer death or any other corporal punishment. Therefore, all those who separate themselves from the same, or do not join themselves to it, act contrary to the ordinance of God. And reading a portion that we've already looked at in terms of our studies in Ephesians, but Ephesians chapter 2, a reminder to the Gentiles of the privilege that is ours of being brought into the church, that we ought never to minimize it or take it for granted. So Ephesians 2:11. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know from Matthew 16, promised to build his church. And having described that church then, in terms of the confessions, in terms of ministers, elders, deacons, members, that Paul now tells these Ephesian Christians that they are part and parcel of this church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are one with God's people, that they do not come, as I say this morning, they're not second-class citizens. They don't stand in the back. They're not aliens anymore, but they are fellow citizens with the people of God. They're part of the family of God. They are God's children. And they have all the privileges that belong to God's children. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminded his disciple that he was going to build his church and the gates of hell were not going to stand against it. And so here we have this foundation being laid, this church being established, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. So this church is important. It has an important function in the purposes of God, to gather his people, to protect his people, to nurture his people, so that God's people may not be simply individuals going through this life, but that they may be part and parcel of God's people, God's family, God's church, God's temple, God's nation. So that here in this life, we can begin to experience the fellowship that we have as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. That here we can get a glimpse of heaven, a foretaste of heaven in the relationships that we have with one another. And that the world may be able to see in a very tangible way what is the kingdom of God. To see in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ a righteousness, a holiness, that they can see in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all that the gospel speaks about. This divisions that are taken out of the way, this unity that is established. And as I said this morning, in all the chaos of the world and all the enmity that exists in the world, between nations, between families, in nations themselves, neighbor to neighbor, that here finally they can see, imperfect as it is, they can see a glimpse of heaven itself. As God's people love one another and care for one another, And as he said, this is the way that people will know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Well, if the world has it, why should it stand out in the church? It's a fact that the world doesn't have it. That they look at us and they see, how is it these people from all over the world, Jews and Gentiles, what is it about their what they believe? What is it about their faith that brings them together in such a way? The world knows nothing about that. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, stands as an eloquent testimony and a witness. People of God, if they don't listen to our words, then certainly they need to take note of our actions. Certainly they need to take note of the fact that here God establishes peace that they can never establish, and especially in the world in which we live, with all of their highfalutin language of how we ought to get along and this and that. It doesn't work. But in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no programs, do we? And yet when we come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's that natural affinity that we have that is created in us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. And so the church needs to be a big part of our life. Our life ought to revolve around the people of God. It ought to be a major aspect of our life, something that we pray for, something that we delight in, something that we rejoice that we are members of, so that we can work together for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the confession reminds us in terms of its identity, is that it is a people that are saved. In other words, believers. I mean, we had that previously as well. It spoke about that. But it's faith, it's belief that separates us from other people. As I said, the world is divided, and it was right from the beginning. And what really divides us is beliefs. Not so much actions, even though our beliefs do affect our actions, but it's what we believe. I mean, what is it that ticks people off in this world? It's what we say. It's what we believe. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. They look at it and think that's ridiculous. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They just shake their heads. We believe all that he said in the Bible is true. We believe all the things that he did in the Bible are true. They deny it. We believe that he died for our sins on the cross and paid for each and every one of them. They just look at it as just a tragedy. So it's what we believe. And so the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ represents a group of people that are united by one faith. I mean, that's what Ephesians puts it as in Ephesians 4. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father. That's what unites us, as I said before. Unity isn't something that you and I sit around the table and come up with. I mean, we don't meet here because we all hashed it out in terms of what does this mean, what does that mean. No, I mean, that's not what unites us, is it? What unites us is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What unites us is that God has done a work in us by his Holy Spirit. We are already united. We are already one. We have one Spirit that works in us, one gospel that we believe. Unity isn't something that you and I have to create. It's something that we have to recognize. It's something that we have to rejoice in. It's something that we have to maintain. It's something that we have to manifest to this world. Not create. There are far too many churches and people that spend hours upon hours upon hours trying to get together. Our church is one of them. I mean, we've spent the last, 8 years or so trying to get together with another denomination. It's a painstaking business. Very slow. And I don't even know that we're ever going to get to the end product. But they need to understand that we are already united. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as I said, we need to rejoice in that. We need to manifest that. So, it's believers. So if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that middle wall of separation has been torn down. It's been broken down. I mean, what more differences could we have as fellow believers than the Gentiles did with the Jews? I mean, they had a real difference, a real background, historical differences. They, as I said before, they looked at each other as dogs and they looked at them as barbarians. But when they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, now they saw each other as the sons and daughters of God. And so if God embraces them as part of his family, what are we going to do? Say, no, they're not good enough for me. I mean, they're good enough for God. He says they're mine. And we say, well, I don't know that I could call him a brother yet. I need to know a little bit more. It's as though they need to do exactly the things I do. They need to understand the scriptures exactly the way I do. We'll never have unity that way. No, but it's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's made up of believers. And so where there's a commonness of faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are united as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we manifest that we show that we rejoice in that, we recognize that. And that's why I say we need to be very careful when we have people that come, perhaps they're members of other churches, and perhaps we have some differences. And I stress often, don't question their Christianity. Don't question their faith just because they have some differences with you. As long as they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as there's a common understanding of the gospel, though we might have differences, we ought always to hold out our hands in fellowship and unity with them. We always need to call them brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, divided as we may be in terms of this life. But we recognize each other as believers and that we belong to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. This church, the Catechism speaks about it in terms of invisible. And I mean, what does it mean when it says invisible? I mean, we just talked about the manifestation of our unity, but so why do we talk about it invisible? Because it's trying to stress that the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be comprehended in all of its breadth. We cannot see everyone. We don't know everyone. We're a church in this area, but we're not the only church. I mean, how many times do we have to stress that? We're not the only church. Yes, I know there are many churches, and we say that a number of churches are false churches. They don't preach the gospel. But putting all of those aside, there are still other churches that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel. And we rejoice in that. We don't know every person in that church, but we certainly know members in other churches that we call brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have churches in other countries that we recognize as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't see all the church in one place. It's invisible. It's far too big for us to comprehend. And even when we do look at churches in a certain area or one place, we can't always see with 100% certainty who are the members of the church, true members. United in true faith. Why? Because the church understands that in its midst there may be hypocrites. Not we don't go around questioning everyone. No, I don't know about you, I don't know. No. But we do recognize that what we see isn't 100% the same as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every single person one-to-one corresponds to those that are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad as that may be, but we don't give that blanket statement. And so there's that aspect of invisibleness about that. There's also an aspect about the invisible church, because not only can we not see all the Christians in this world right now, we certainly can't see all the Christians down the ages, and certainly not in the ages to come. We certainly can't see the church in heaven. So the church is much broader than what we can see. And so we have to recognize that. We can't have that this idea that we're the only ones. We're not the only ones. God's church goes from the beginning of time to the end of time, through all nations. The church is far too big for us to comprehend. And so we need to have that in our minds. Understand that, so that we don't get depressed when we see a church going through difficult times and we think, oh, we're the only ones, like Elijah, I'm the only one, everything's lost. No. So we don't see all of God's people. And so there's that invisible aspect to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to keep in mind, and we need to celebrate. But of course, the church is not totally invisible. The church is manifest. And it's manifest in local churches. The scriptures give us letters that are written to churches, Ephesians being one of them. There are another seven churches, of course, that are written about, and two in Revelation. It's not just to Christians in general. It's the churches in particular. When Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, he was certainly thinking of all God's people, of course, but he was certainly thinking on a local level, because when he goes to equip the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us what? He gives us office bearers. He gives us talents that are to be used as we gather together as the people of God. So the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, though it may be invisible, yet it does have a very earthly manifestation. And it's in us. You and me. And that's the glory that Paul is speaking about in Ephesians. That these Gentiles now have been brought in. Well, how will the world see that? If we just sit at home and say, yeah, we're fellow believers, we never gather together, we never worship together, we never love one another and do things together, how will they ever know? No. It's when these Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians came together and lived together and worked together and served the Lord Jesus Christ together that it became a wonderful testimony to the world about them. And so since this is an important aspect of God's work, redemptive work, then it's absolutely essential that we identify with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That because of its vital necessity, I mean, why does Jesus say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Why? Well, because he was sending us out as sheep among wolves. There's a devil out there, and he seeks to tempt us and lead us astray and persecute us in whatever ways he can. Revelation makes that very clear. So the Lord Jesus Christ has a concern about our well-being. And so he's provided the church as a vehicle by which we may experience salvation in its fullness in our fellowship with one another, that we might be nourished in our faith, that we may be strengthened in our faith, that we may be protected, that we may be guided in our Christian walk with one another, that we might even be admonished by our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may come after us when we go astray in order to save us. What a wonderful blessing that is. For us to be individuals and face the devil, it is a daunting task. We would not survive very long. Just as a branch that's cut off from the vine is not going to survive. It's not going to produce anything. No, it needs to abide in the vine. It needs to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that what? So that the means of grace that God provides in the church may give us the strength and the comfort and the help that we need day by day. So it's extremely important then that we be part and parcel of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we'll look at that in Ephesians 4. That all these gifts are given for the equipment of the people of God. For the ministry, for the proclamation of the gospel, for their personal growth and sanctification, that we might all grow into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that all these blessings come. That's why we speak about the means of grace in terms of the ministries of the church. Not that they are not individual and personal access that we have to the Father. Of course we have that as well. But there's a certain protection and strength that we have as collectively as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to make it a priority that we identify with and function in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a wholehearted involvement. We need to take the gifts that God has given to us. And we need to utilize them for the good of the congregation. The gifts that we have are not given for personal aggrandizement. They're given for the whole body. And that's why Paul speaks about the church as a body. And he says we're all members of it. And we have different talents. So not everyone, if we're going to use the analogy of the body, when everyone's not the hand, not everyone's not the eye, not everyone's not the head or the ears. We all have different functions so that the body can work effectively for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to see that. We need to see ourselves as part and parcel of this body. And we need to look at the talents that God has given us. And we need to make them available and wholeheartedly use them in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be spectators in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's like having an arm that is paralyzed. You can't do anything with. You just have to drag it around. It's a burden. Because it won't play its part. It doesn't want to play its part. That's what happens when we have a church where people just are peripheral. Yes, they've joined the church, but they really don't care for it. It's not their business, as it were. We can't have that. We have to say what the Lord Jesus Christ says. I am about my Father's business. I mean, any one of us that has a business knows what it is to commit time and energy and effort. We don't look at the clock, do we? We don't say, how many hours I've put in, forget it now. Because we're so engrossed in the business. We want it to succeed. Well, this is your business. This is the business of your Father in heaven. The cause of the gospel and the benefit and the blessing of God's people is your business. The most precious business that we have. It's for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he laid down his life. You want to know how important the church was to the Lord Jesus Christ? He laid down his life. And now he's working to cleanse the church so that finally he can present the church as a beautiful bride adorned for a husband without spot and without blemish. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks of the church. When we read the letters in Revelation, that's how concerned the Lord Jesus Christ is about his churches. He's knocking on the door. He's telling them that they've lost their first love. He's commending those that are faithful, even though they are small and facing uphill struggle. People of God, it's your business. It's your business. When you become a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is yours as much as it is anybody else. And so you need to treat it with respect, with love, with devotion. Not, as I said, not looking at the clock and saying, well, I've done this, that person hasn't done anything, that person hasn't done anything. I mean, if you're the owner of a business, part owner, you don't think that way. So that's the way that we need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to function. Every single person giving all of their heart and mind. Not, by the way, not that the church needs to dominate the people's life and they need to tell you what to do. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're not interested in controlling people's lives. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the purpose for which the Lord Jesus Christ made the church, established the church, should be so dear to us that we want to give everything that we have for that, to that end. Not to serve one another necessarily, even though we do that, but it's for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's saying everyone, every Christian is duty-bound to join himself to the church. Now that's not a sales pitch for you to join our church. Because we're not saying we're the only church. But you do need to join the church. You do need to be part of the people of God. You do need to commit yourself collectively with them for the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in numbers. I mean, we'd like more people to come. But that's not what we're all about. But to glorify God and serve him. So we want to be part of God's people. We want to be part of his body. And so we're to submit ourselves to one another. We can't have a church that's unruly, everyone doing their own thing. That would be like having a body that we can't control. One does this thing, one does the other thing. No, we're not coordinated. I mean, sometimes we speak about people like that, right? We say they have two left hands or something. Because they can't do anything. They can't function together. Or a team that doesn't work together. And so even though they may have very highly successful and talented people, they never win because they don't work together. That's why it's important that we work together. That's why it's important that we love one another and overcome the difficulties that we have in terms of personalities and stuff. Because we don't want the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ not to succeed. not to be successful in terms of bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we need to bow ourselves before the throne of God. We need to respect His order in the church as He gives us gifts, as He gives us leaders, the watch over our souls. We need to respect that God knows how to organize His people. And that the church doesn't need us. We need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the instructions that He gives, or the confession gives, is be united to it. Don't think that you can operate on your own. Sometimes people think, well, I'm theologically astute, right? Somebody may be a minister or something, or very well educated and read lots of books. And they think, well, I can live on my own. I can make it on my own. I mean, what a nonsense a statement that is. Who do you think you are? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were an utter failure without the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one that brought you to life. He's the one that created faith in you. He brought you to Himself. And now you're saying, I can stand on my own? No. No. That would be, as I said, just as foolish of a branch that is very heavy with fruit, saying, you know, I'm pretty successful. Look, I mean, look at me, I'm this size. I don't need anyone. The moment we cut that branch off, however big it may think it is, it'll perish. That's the way it is with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. However gifted you may think you are, without the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be nothing. You will completely wither away. I don't care how many theological books you read. I don't know how successful you might have been as a minister and elder. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are absolutely nothing. And so we need to remain in Him. His Word needs to remain in us. We need to be united with God's people. No, we need to be part of Him. And we need to prize that membership. We need to glory in the fact that we are members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not see it as some sort of oppression. To take the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ upon ourselves is not a burden for us. It's a delight. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall have rest unto yourself. People of God, we ought never to look at being bound by the Lord Jesus Christ as some sort of prison. It's a joy to be in Him. And so that's the way we need to look at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like these Ephesians that Paul is saying, you have been brought nigh, you have been members. You are the ones that now are considered as born in Zion, registered in Zion. We are citizenship is in heaven. But how do we see it on earth? We see it as being members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command of God. It's a command of God that we be part of His people, that we give everything that we have for the cause of the church. People of God, in a day and age when the church was being persecuted, they couldn't function as churches because they were being persecuted at that time. And the Roman Catholic Church was saying they're the only church and everyone else was to be persecuted. And yet they were saying, they weren't saying, well, don't worry about it, people. Everyone just, pray by yourself. We can still be Christians. We don't have to be churches. No, what did he say? We need to be with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when the civil magistrate forbids us from coming together worshiping God. We ought not to fear being part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The benefits far outweigh whatever struggles we face. And it's a challenge to us in the West that in the certain countries where Christianity is not tolerated and the people are persecuted, the church is growing. Why would people join themselves to a church? Why would people not say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I can keep it inside? Why do they feel compelled to meet with the people of God and worship as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ when they are in danger of their lives? Because they see how valuable it is. But And we need to see it in our day and age as well. Sadly, that's fallen not received so well these days. People want a consumer kind of church. I can go here, I can go there. But they don't want to commit. Commit to Christ. No, God has given us a wonderful privilege. You are a child of God. Stand with the people of God. Suffer with the people of God. Serve with the people of God. Christ is in our midst. What a blessing to be united with Him and to confess Him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have granted us the privilege and brought us in into your fellowship. Our Father, there is not an institution in this world that we would rather desire to be part of than this. This is the most highly prized membership that we have of being your people. And Lord, we thank you for one another. We're thankful for the comfort and the encouragement and the support and the help that we receive from one another. All from you, of course, through the channels of your children. But we're so thankful to be found in their midst. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would use us to manifest to the world the beauty, the blessing of being part of your family. And though we are imperfect, we pray that they may see enough in us to desire to hear more and to learn more of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would challenge each and every one of us to do what we can with all of our strength to serve your wonderful cause, to love you and to serve you and to proclaim your gospel. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our church here. And though we may be small, relatively speaking, yet, our Father, we know that as we preach the gospel, as we live it with one another, that we will have a powerful witness to those around us. And we're so thankful for those that you bring into our midst, as you have done lately, and we look forward to more that you may add to your church. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.